The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
And that's the name of the sushi restaurant. That's how you get there. Oh, good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander back in the fold. Kelly Bidlin alongside. Producer number nine, so much more than a producer. How you doing, man?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm good. Let me thank Joe Serrallo for being here for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Were you able to make direct eye contact with him at this distance?
He's too beautiful. It just hurts to look at him. He's like the sun, just to look at him directly.
He might melt.
Exactly, yeah.
How was he able to host this show while also playing at in Del Rey at the same time? Would he fly back and forth in big time tennis?
Is that where Taylor was at?
Yeah.
I didn't even realize that. Huh. DBO pulling in big names these days.
Explains why he lost to Davidovich Fokina in the semis.
Wow, he owns Del Rey Beach, right?
No, that is a big get for Del Rey. You're right. I'm back, and we got a great show. Thanks to Kelly Bidlin's epic producing here. Todd Wishnev at the end of the show, baby. I might be responsible for that one. Can't wait to talk to Toddy. Megapod co-host, of course, the great Todd Wishnev, and the co-star of the Showtime docuseries Action. Todd will be here to talk college basketball. He is on quite the heater in-game betting in college basketball, but I just want to get a heat check from him as we are now, what is it, 3 weeks? 3 weeks before Selection Sunday? His thoughts on who can actually win this whole thing in college basketball, who can win the title, sleepers, teams that really have no shot, in his opinion, though others think they do. Wes Reynolds coming off a golf runner-up performance. God, does he stink at golf betting.
Terrible. He's awful.
You mean he didn't have Brian
Get
Campbell?
It home, Wes.
Wes Reynolds will join us to talk golf and college basketball as well. We'll talk NBA awards. Carl Sack will join us to talk National Basketball Association. And I will start the show with a couple things. I will do a Major League Baseball season win total coming up. The same segment that gave you the Texas Rangers over 2 years ago when they ended up soaring over and winning the World Series. And then last year, the Padres soaring over. I have my favorite season win total of the year coming up, and it is an under.
Which you have not discussed before, right?
I have not discussed it before.
Okay.
No.
That was a Kelly question when he sent it over.
That's always.
I don't think we've brought this up before,
It's always a post-vacation thing. By the way, that sushi thing I do is also now become a tradition unlike any other when I get back from vacation. Mid-sentence.
That's right.
Kind of thing. Yeah, you guys turn off the mic. I was talking about it. All right. Can we start, though? We're back from vacation here. I want to start with the college basketball formula. Are we allowed to do that?
Let's do it.
All right. So this is a tried and true tradition here on a numbers game. Everybody does college basketball formulas now. Have you noticed this, Kelly?
Yes, I have.
Have you noticed that we were the first to do it? I think you noticed that as well. I'm going to say this. This, for those who are listening for the first time on SiriusXM 158, because I want to always go back to sort of, if you're listening for the first time, we've been doing this throughout the course of a numbers game. Before that, the Beating the Book podcast. Before that, the Betting Dork podcast. Essentially, what the point of this is to sort of guide you towards making proper futures bets to win it all in college basketball and to steer you away from the notion that this March Madness of ours, this great American tradition, ends up being this upset-filled thing. It is, but just for the first weekend. That's the thing. Right. Our image of Jim Valvano going around and hugging all his players in 1983 is not actually a thing. It was back then. It isn't now because the chalk ends up rising. It goes chalk McChalkerson when it gets to the Sweet 16 and beyond. And so when trying to identify a potential champion, here are the sort of parameters. Here are the criteria that has been met for decades now. We have six categories. Let me just review them again for the first time for some. Last 34 champs, Kelly, the last 34 have had more assists than turnovers. That makes sense, right?
Yeah, that helps. It helps to win basketball games.
It does help. 32 of the last 34 champs had a head coach with Sweet 16 experience. Oh, look, there's two exceptions. 32 of the last 34 had a head coach with Sweet 16 experience prior to the year they won this. I know a lot of people are like, wait a minute, he's in the Sweet 16 now on the way there. Yeah, it doesn't count this year. I'm saying in prior years. The exceptions, 2014 UConn Huskies Kevin Ollie did not have any Sweet 16 experience before the Huskies won that year. And a couple years ago, not a couple years ago, but last year, well, no, yeah, that is 2 years ago, 2023 when Dan Hurley one with UConn. He did not have any prior Sweet 16 coaching experience. So those are the two exceptions to that. 28 of the last 29 champs went in the tournament with at least three wins versus teams in the top 10% of RPI. I know we don't really use RPI anymore, but that's how far back this goes. Hold that thought. We'll get to a few teams this year that excludes from being part of this formula or qualifying anyway. Last 29 champs had a top 75 strength of schedule. That comes into play sometimes, particularly for teams out west. 21 of the last 22 champs were in the top 20 in adjusted offensive efficiency at KenPom. The only exception, Kelly, the 2014 UConn Huskies. The Shabazz Napier-led 2014 UConn Huskies, who were the exception to so many rules.
Yeah.
And then this last one, I think this is actually 20. Yeah, this is also 21 of the last 22 champs were in the top 20 in adjusted defensive efficiency. The only exception here, the 2021 Baylor Bears. The Baylor Bears were an exception to this one as well. By the way, the three wins versus teams in the top 10% of RPI, that exception was the UConn Huskies from 2014 as well. So the UConn Huskies of 2014 were the exceptions in three of these. And then the only other ones were Hurley as hadn't been a Sweet 16 coach in 2023 and Baylor in adjusted defensive efficiency 22nd back in 2021. So those are the only other exceptions to this. So it then begs the question, who right now, 3 weeks before Selection Sunday, who qualifies? As we post up the odds, by the way, right now, Auburn is your short shot just by a tick shorter than Duke. Auburn's plus 360, Duke plus 370, and then it's Houston 8-1, Florida plus 850. Bama leads the double-digit parade at 12-1. Who qualifies? Auburn qualifies. Three teams qualify at this very moment. Auburn qualifies. Bruce Pearl, no surprise to those who have been following college basketball intently this year, that Auburn is the number one qualifier, as is Duke. No surprise there. Auburn, by the way, first in adjusted offensive efficiency at KenPom, Duke second, and also fourth in adjusted defensive efficiency at KenPom. They are the two easy-peasy ones that get through easily. And yes, John Shire did coach to the Elite Eight last year, in case you were wondering about that. Bruce Pearl, by the way, Sweet 16 in Milwaukee, Sweet 16 twice, and an Elite Eight at Tennessee, a Final Four at Auburn. Remember that team that somehow lost to Virginia? I think that was the Kyle Guy game, where Kyle Guy got fouled to beat Auburn and hit three free throws. And the only other team that qualifies beyond Auburn and Duke right now at this moment, and this is subject to change, is Houston. The Houston Cougars right now, seventh in adjusted offensive efficiency, third in adjusted defensive efficiency. Kelvin Sampson, of course, has been to just a myriad of Sweet 16s, Elite Eights, Final Four along the way as well, both at Oklahoma and at Houston. Houston's bugaboo up until this weekend was that they had not beaten three teams, or had three wins, I should say more accurately, in the top 10% of RPI, but they beat Iowa State, who is without two of their top two scorers. So Houston now qualifies for the top of this as well. So it's Auburn, Duke, and Houston. Now you ask yourself, okay, that's it? Those are the only three teams that can win this tournament according to this formula? Well, at the very moment, yes. But as I said, subject to change for some teams. Iowa State barely misses. Iowa State right now 21st in adjusted offensive efficiency at KenPom, 9th adjusted D. So they are really the team that is closest really to being in there, along with, by the way, Arizona, who's 19th and 18th. They qualify in both the KenPom categories, adjusted offense and adjusted defense, but they've only beaten Texas Tech and Iowa State, top 10% of RPI. They still do play Iowa State again and Kansas, so they can play themselves in.
Wait, who is that?
That's Arizona.
Arizona,
so
okay.
Iowa State and Arizona are the two teams closest to joining Auburn, Duke, and Houston. Now, if you're asking yourself, what about Florida?
I'm sitting over here looking through the other teams. Yeah.
Florida, the issue with Florida, and they can't get over, like unlike Iowa State and Arizona, which can actually play themselves into this, Todd Golden has never coached in a Sweet 16 before. So if you believe in that, and again, there's been two exceptions, right? Kevin Ollie in 2014, Danny Hurley in 2023. Todd Golden has never coached in a Sweet 16 before. So that's why Florida doesn't qualify. They're 4th and 7th, adjusted offense, adjusted defense. Maryland, 17th and 20th at KenPom, offense, defense, respectively. Kevin Willard has never coached in a Sweet 16. So that's why they don't qualify and can't. And there's a host of other teams. Texas Tech, Grant McCaslin has never coached in a Sweet 16. Michigan State is very close, by the way. And Michigan State, of course, with Tom Izzo.
Has he been there?
A couple times. Izzo, by the way, a champ, a runner-up, six Final Fours, two Elite Eights, five Sweet 16s.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah.
So you got Bama. I'm just over on Ken Pop. So Bama outside because of the defensive rating.
Well,
right?
Let me go through these systematically. Oh, okay. So Michigan State 23rd and 12th. So if Iowa State and Arizona are the closest to joining Auburn, Duke, and Houston, Michigan State's right behind them as well, right? 23rd and 12th. Bama, what you were saying is right.
Mm.
Bama, there's a couple teams here. Bama and Tennessee, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Bama's third adjusted offense, but they're 47th in adjusted D. So you can't even like get to Nate Oates and crew to get qualified for this. Same with Tennessee at this point, because Tennessee's 29th.
That's tight, though.
Closer.
29th in offense, first in defense.
First in D. Yeah. But the problem is, you can't put the ball in the basket, it's trouble. You can't win six games in a row in a tournament. Louisville, Pat Kelsey has never coached in a Sweet 16. Clemson is 16th and 26th. Michigan is 26th and 23rd with Dusty May, who of course famously got to the Final Four at FAU.
Yeah.
Great call by Will Hill. So it's Auburn, Duke, Houston, with Iowa State, Arizona, and Michigan State the closest on the outside looking in. We'll update this every Monday. By the way, shout out to NJNY on Twitter for doing his own thing on this as well, yep. Keeping himself updated and keeping the folks on Twitter updated on this. Coming back, Major League Baseball season win total next on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Let's start off with a blanket offer here. VSiN Pro subscription, your intro offer. Sign up now for as little as $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. What does that include? Well, daily best bets from every host, every guest, every sport on the network, exclusive betting splits, upcoming March Madness betting guide, all of our betting guides. That's just for $9.99, as little as that at VSiN.com/subscribe. Check it out. Were you happening to watch any college basketball yesterday? You see the UConn-St. John's game by any chance?
Yeah, I saw a few minutes of it.
There was this moment in the first half. I don't know if anybody caught this, but Gus Johnson. How do you feel about Gus Johnson these days?
I love him. I know there's a lot of mixed feelings, but you know what? Gus brings that energy, and I love it.
I used to love Gus Johnson.
Yeah.
I used to love him. I do feel like at some point he became a caricature of himself.
Right.
He feels like he's chronically underprepared for stuff. But, you know, when there's an exciting game at the end, we love hearing Gus do his thing. But anyway, yesterday there was like a lull in the middle of the first half of this UConn-St. John's game. And it was a timeout, but they didn't go to commercial. And the color commentator, and forgive me, I can't remember who the color commentator is, but Gus just decided at one point, I guess UConn was up and St. John started to assert themselves and they were building a lead. And there was a lull and they were like they were on the bench, but then they were getting back on the court. And it was an awkward silence. And Gus goes, Rick Pitino's dad, truck driver, had back problems, then came back and the mafia wanted to take 10% from him, just like Rick Pitino wants his 10% now. I'm like, what?
That's pretty good.
What? First of all, the Italian connection aside for a second, like, what did that have anything to do? Like, was he waiting to say this?
I had no idea, man.
Did he have this in his holster? Or he's like, I can't wait to use my mafia thing coming up.
Probably like an off-season, like, Pitino line when I need it, if he's doing well.
Now Rick Pitino wants his 10%. 10% of what, Gus? What are we talking about exactly? And it was awkward. The color commentator was like,
coming for his pound of flesh from the NCAA.
That's basically what it was. Basically what it was. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Oh, maybe I should save these. So, because I want to do the baseball thing real quick. I'll save these. Okay, we'll get tweets. We get tons of tweets from everybody. Appreciate it.
We got your tweets. We're saving.
We do have your tweets. I see all of them, and there are tons of them, but I want to do the baseball thing because I don't want to run out of time. So this is a tried and true segment that we do after vacation every year, too, which is I give my favorite baseball pre-flop season win total of the year. 2 years ago, again, it was the Texas Rangers over 81.5. They finished 90-72 and they won the World Series. So actually, I felt bad about it afterwards. They didn't have them win the World Series, but they soared over the total. Padres last year over 81.5. They went 93-69. So again, you beat one by 8.5 games, beat last year's by 11.5. This year, I'm going under on a particular play. And for those who weren't spoiled by it here on the screen here, let me just sort of explain how I come to my season win totals, which is because when you look at season win totals in any preview article, what you will generally read or what you will hear in mainstream media is, oh, well, this team lost these players. They acquired these players. This is why I feel like they're going to go over or under, that kind of thing. And look, there's nothing wrong with that. It's valid, obviously, but I have it ranked sort of third in when I do things. It's like the third thing I talk about. The first couple things are sort of how serious baseball handicappers go about this kind of stuff. And the beauty of baseball season win totals, more than any other sport, is that it's 162 points of data, right? 162 games. So you can overcome negative variance if your handicap is good, right? Unlike professional football, where you're only playing a 17-game season, unlike college football, God forbid, where you're playing even fewer games, if you have a bad few weeks, your bet is sunk more often than not. Baseball, you can have a bad month, you could still overcome it and still win if your handicap is good. So the first thing is, and that's why we keep doing it every year, and it's one of the best sort of betting vehicles to this day. The first thing is, with baseball teams, there is something called the Bill James Pythagorean Theorem. This is not the Pythagorean Theorem you learned in your geometry class, Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
A squared plus B squared equals C squared, by the way, for those of you scoring at home. You knew that.
Is that what triangle again?
Yeah, that the triangle, right?
Yeah. But which triangle? Which type of triangle?
Oh, is that the isosceles?
Right, that's what I can't remember. Isosceles?
Anyway, it's not that.
I know what we're talking about, though.
And I'm going to spare you the Bill James Pythagorean Theorem. But essentially what it is a team scores this many runs given a season. They give up this many runs. And there is a tried and true formula. Talking about tried and true formulas from the college basketball segment before, where you can then translate that to an expected win percentage and therefore an expected record. Every year, teams overperform or underperform their actual expected record based on runs produced and runs allowed in the final standings. So last year, for instance, let's talk about the Pythagorean Theorem. So it's very easy. It's just runs produced, runs allowed. The biggest overperformers in the 2024 baseball season were the Tampa Bay Rays and the St. Louis Cardinals, who overperformed what their record ought to have been by 7 runs. By the way, this graphic is a little confusing because what their record is posted. Their last year's record is posted on the left. What their season win total is for this year is posted in parentheses. But just trust me, the biggest overperformers were Tampa Bay and St. Louis by 7 runs. The biggest underperformers were the Royals, Cubs, Reds, and Mariners, 6 runs, 6 runs, 5 runs, 5 runs, respectively, underperforming what their expected record should have been, what their expected win percentage based on Bill James Pythagorean Theorem should have been, which again is a very simple thing. Runs produced, runs allowed. This is what your record should have been. This is what you ended up. Now, that's one level of it. What that doesn't explain, that explains you scored this many, you gave up this many, this is what your record ought to be, but it doesn't explain how you got to those runs, how you got to those runs allowed. And that oftentimes is referred to as something called sequencing or base runs. There's all kinds of variations of this. And what it essentially is, I always use the most basic thing, which is, you know, just to give an example of that. Let's say you have, let's say in a given half inning, you have 3 walks, a home run, and 3 strikeouts. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's say you're on offense. If you have the 3 walks, then you hit the home run, and then you have the 3 strikeouts, you get 4 runs. But if you have the, what is it? If you have the home run first, and then you have the 3 walks and the 3 strikeouts, you only get 1 run. So essentially, based on the events of any given half inning, both on offense and defense, there is an expected run value. And sometimes you get super lucky about over, you know, the sequencing of that. Sometimes you get unlucky, and that's over a course of a season, both offensively and defenses. The most fortunate of all of those teams in the year 2024 was by far the Cleveland Guardians. Yes, can I call them our Cleveland Guardians? Sorry, Adam Burke, stolen for 2 months. The Cleveland Guardians were 11 wins better based on sequencing than they ought to have been. Texas was the next closest, 6 wins better than they ought to have been. By the way, the least fortunate, Chicago White Sox by 9 games, even though they stink, they were worse than they should have been. Boston, Seattle, and the White Sox also in that list. So what does all of that mean? What it means is then based on these kinds of things, while the average article or news story you hear about projected, you know, previews of Major League Baseball teams projected into the coming season talk about, well, they acquire this player, they are losing this player. They don't start at the proper baseline. What this allows us to do is start at the proper baseline. So my favorite play this year, cutting to the chase, is the Cleveland Guardians under 82.5 for a team that won 92 games last year, went 92-70, and who, by the way, we famously had for most wins in March, April at 65-1, and we came one out short of winning that. We had them for the most wins in the month of May. We came one win away from winning that. Love the Cleveland Guardians last year, but part of knowing them as intimately as we did is that this stuff checks out. The Cleveland Guardians, while their season win total has been adjusted, to me it has not been adjusted enough. Because on top of all of that, Kelly, having watched them with the eye test, one of the things you know is they did lose Josh Naylor, who got them out of so many jams offensively with a big bat last year. And they also lose, they lose Naylor to the Diamondbacks. And they lose Andrés Giménez to the Blue Jays. Andrés Giménez is a 3-year-in-a-row gold glover at second base, who was also a clutch hitter at times, too, but they really lose the defense. So with the Guardians, the problem is that they are a team that had really average, and I'm being nice, starting pitching last year, and a bullpen that bailed them out time and time again until they didn't, by the way, towards the end of the season and then in the postseason. But essentially, a formula in baseball where you have, you know, average at best, and again, I'm being kind, starting pitching, an elite bullpen for a season, timely hitting. They were top 10 in runners in scoring, with runners in scoring position last year. They were middling, average, 17th in WRC plus, boosted by a rare one-year blip, by the way, it should be mentioned, in ballpark factor at Progressive Field. Their starting pitching ranked 24th in fielding independent. That is just not a formula that is sustainable. And I'm going under on the Guardians. Under 82.5 is my favorite Major League Baseball season win total of the year. I think it's been adjusted, sure, but not adjusted enough for all of those reasons. And by the way, at places like DraftKings, you can bet ranges. 74-79 wins is at +320. I don't hate that bet at all. That's my favorite Major League Baseball season win total of the year, as we do this year and year ago. I know the Baseball Manifesto I used to write had many of these, but we've just sort of whittled it down to a favorite these days. Coming back, Carl Sack on the NBA. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Want to boost your edge with Edge Boost, the financial platform for smart bettors. Cashback rewards, no usage costs. By the way, Edge Boost, the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums. Earn cashback rewards, 100% approval for all betting deposits. That's 100% approval for all betting deposits. Sign up today at edgeboost.bet with promo code ANG. What's that promo code, Kelly?
ANG is an A numbers game.
Deposit $25 and Edge Boost will match the deposit. That's edgeboost.bet. Promo code ANG. Check it out. We do get tweets at Beating the Book. I promised I'd deliver. Thank you all for the kind tweets. Where do we begin, Kelly? Let's begin at the start, shall we? This is from Teasers and Parlays. Gil, coming off a much-deserved vacation and baseball opening within a month means one thing. Most monthly wins are back, baby. Oh, I cannot wait for this. This was the greatest thing last year, the monthly wins.
We got to have odds posted, right?
I looked briefly yesterday and I did not see any, but maybe I wasn't looking in the right place because I didn't scour, but I looked at one spot. It was not there yet.
Yeah, I don't see it.
But yes, we will do it March, April, May, June. It was the most fun thing we ever did with baseball. Jesse Welch, hey, Kelly, when you go to bring Todd Wishnev on today, make sure you don't call him Todd Worrell by mistake, although I'd love to hear exactly what he got for winning the Rolaids Relief Award in 1986.
Yeah, you missed me calling the wrong John last week. That was entertaining.
What do you mean, calling the wrong John?
Oh, we had a guest slip up last week, and I saved the same number for two different guys with the first name John. So Gil and I have not talked about this off air at all.
Oh, I think I saw this and it crept into my...
I'm texting with... I think I'm texting John Fanta and I'm texting with him booking for guest spot. Hey, John, how you doing? Hey, I'm doing great. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. We bring him on. We're talking off the air with him before. Hey, John, how's it going? Blah, blah, blah. As soon as we bring him on air, I'm not John Fanta. This is John Martin.
That's outstanding.
It was as, I mean, I've had worse producing mistakes in my life. That was as bizarre and odd of one as I've ever, bizarre of one.
You should just continue that as a John bit. So when you invite Legesa on, bring like Von Tobel on.
Oh,
and
it was,
act like you're talking to Legesa.
You know what? The audience had a great time with it. I got a lot of tweets all the way. What was funny is we ended up having, including John Von Tobel, we ended up having Johns every day that week on the show. So it was like, yeah, the audience was having a lot of fun with that.
3JackH3131, welcome back from vacation, Gil. The Joe Serralo did a fine job covering for you, and Kelly came up with a new segment called Which John is on the phone. Happy Monday to you and all of yours. Ryan Hyatt, great to have the old pro Gil filling in for Joe Serralo on a numbers game with Kelly. Don't worry, Gil, just be yourself, and Kelly will handle all the 70s, 80s pop culture references. Let him play to his strengths. You'll do fine on the big stage. Jay Law, welcome back. When will you be releasing your best MLB win total this year? Just did. Jason H11, welcome back, Kelly. Kelly and Joe did a great job in your absence. What's the tennis landscape looking like the next couple weeks? Five tournaments globally going on right now. I have a couple tennis picks, by the way, coming up for later in the day, which we will get to. And then in 2 weeks, Indian Wells, tennis's fifth major. Cannot wait.
You going?
I'm going, baby.
Nice.
First weekend I'm going. Can't wait. Let's talk some basketball. Carl Sack joins us, everybody. You may know him as the NBA guru from his Dr. Bob days. But these days, he is applying his trade at KillerCappers.com. We check him out now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, man?
My name's Carl Williams, not Carl Sack.
Yeah, there was a lot of these jokes, Gil. There was a lot of these jokes.
Thanks for playing along, Carl, on that. Carl the Truth Williams back in the day, boxer, back when they showed heavyweight fights in real time on network TV. Carl Sack, ladies and gentlemen, who moves lines when he releases picks in the National Basketball Association. I want to ask you this because I am privy to your plays. I know you primarily through the years as the greatest NBA totals better I know. I know some people say others are. I'm not disparaging anybody else. But for me, I have followed you for years and years. You're the greatest I've ever seen. Sides, would you say not quite as good for you over time? And if so, why?
I think sides are a little bit harder to beat, but So my ROI on sides is probably a little bit lower. I just think, I don't know, the totals market is weaker.
Is weaker. Okay. And by the way, I didn't know if that was true or not. You're saying it is, but just not by much. It's just a little.
Not by much. Okay. Yeah, probably 54.5% on sides, 55.5% on totals.
All right. This is over, by the way, for people, because there are going to be some new bettors out there like 54%, 55%. That doesn't sound that good. When you do it over thousands and thousands of picks, you are minting money doing that. So for sure, that's good. By the way, KillerCappers.com is the website for the picks. And for the database, it is?
Killer Sports.
KillerSports.com.
KillerSports.com.
Okay. Let's start with the Warriors, close to my heart. Since the Jimmy Butler trade, they are 5-1. Thing or not a thing, Carl?
They're playing well right now. They're a team that I've been betting on recently and will probably continue to do so. They'll get Kuminga back in the next couple of weeks. That'll help them. But I've got them rated pretty high right now. As you know, we'll see if there's any off the court drama or anything that comes up. But right now they're playing well.
I know you focus in on games on a day to day basis. I assume you have, maybe I shouldn't assume, but I you have a sense of where you have teams in general ranked in a sort of pecking order. Who do you have 1, 2, 3, and what's the margin between them? League-wide
right now, Oklahoma City. Well, and this is regular season ratings. I think once it becomes the playoffs, the rotations change. They kind of, you know, starters get more minutes. But in terms of regular season ratings right now, I would say Oklahoma City 1, Cleveland 2, Boston 3.
And what is the gap between Oklahoma City and Cleveland? Big?
I make it about 2.5 points now with Holmgren back. Yeah.
All right.
So, now, yeah, that's kind of large, I would say. I don't know.
Does the getting to your point about the postseason, though, does the shrinkage of rotations, does that apply to OKC in a significant way at all?
I think it is a little bit. So they're really deep. That's their strength right now. And that will help them a lot in the regular season, especially on back-to-back stuff like that. But yeah, I think, I mean, that's the same thing with Cleveland too. Cleveland's really deep. I think a team, like maybe Denver or Indy or the Clippers, those are teams that maybe aren't quite as Houston. Those are teams that aren't quite as deep and will probably get a bump come playoff time.
Yeah, so I'm trying to articulate it. So teams that are deep, going to a shrinking lineup isn't really a factor when it comes to the postseason. But a team that is not as deep gets a boost because you are emphasizing the smaller rotation anyway, kind of thing. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So I probably said it poorer than I could have. But that's sort of the very strange puzzle of the NBA playoffs. What of those teams, like, does Cleveland worry you? Does OKC worry you? Because, again, we think of Boston. We've seen Boston win a title. We're obviously, we have the muscle memory on that. Do you buy into the fact that OKC is, you know, because the mainstream media will be like, well, they're young. They haven't gone far before. They haven't flirted with the promised land. Cleveland, maybe they're just a regular season juggernaut. Which worries you more?
You know, they both got some good playoff experience last year. I guess I would say maybe Cleveland worries me a little bit more, only because they got to the second round last year, but they weren't healthy. I mean, to be honest with you, like, I think either team could win the title this year.
Is there a bet for you right now on title winner?
No, I don't get too much into futures. Yeah. If I had to, I would maybe take a flyer on Cleveland to win the East. They seem to be, last I checked, they were like really plus money. And they're looking like they're going to have home court right now. And I think that, if it ends up being Boston and Cleveland in the East finals, that's going to be a really good series.
Yeah, I feel like for having the best record in the NBA, we're still kind of all sleeping on them in a contextual kind of way. What did you end up with today?
Today's card I'm not terribly excited about. I would say the best thing currently on the card is kind of a hold your nose, but it's the Brooklyn Washington under about 215.5 I'm seeing right now. I think with Simmons being traded and D'Lo being out last game and tonight as well, their offense, I don't know where it comes from. Those are their point guards, and I think they're going to struggle to score some points.
Under Brooklyn Washington right now at 214.5 from Carl Sack. KillerSports.com, KillerCappers.com if you want to check out all his picks and sign up there. Thank you, Carl. Appreciate it. Carl Sack, everybody. Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. We got to talk some NBA awards. Obviously, you talked about Wembanyama last week. Kelly's got some stuff to say. That's next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Take your betting to the next level with FirstBet. Whether it's Santa Anita, Gulfstream Park, or the road to the Kentucky Derby and Preakness, FirstBet puts the action at your fingertips. Sign up now at FirstBet.com. That's the number 1stbet.com. And use promo code VSIN200 to score a 20% rebate on all your wagers for the first 60 days, up to $200. Don't miss out. Bet smarter today at FirstBet.com. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. This is from Wet Willie Cohen. Welcome back, Gilly. While you were gone, a special in numbers game investigation concluded that Kelly slipped up and let the big guy Dustin Sweetelson in on the special sushi spot. Any truth to this? No, Kelly did not slip up.
That's right. Thank you, Gil.
Someone else who slipped up.
That was also the whole point of Dustin. I didn't know he was going to bring it up, and he brought it up just to clear my name.
Just to clear your name.
Yeah. Which I was like, where are we going with this?
Here's how I know Kelly didn't slip up. I blindfolded him, gagged him, and threw him in the trunk.
That's
how he got there.
I mean, I've said it 100 times, but it's really kind of just embarrassing. Where I'm like, I said it again last night. I don't know the name of the damn place. I ate there. I still don't know the name.
Ice cold gambler. Gil is back. Kelly looking like he's on Ozempic. He must be staying on that workout program. Let's get Sporer on and talk some baseball. We absolutely will.
And you know what helps when you combine both.
Rick Olier. Yeah, you're looking great, man. Oh, thanks, what are you down to, like, 2 bills almost now?
Oh, I wish. Okay. 248.
Let's go.
Down from 316 in December 2023.
Good for you, and you did it slowish.
Yeah, slowish.
But that's a good way to do it.
No, it is. Yeah, gym, man, the past 6 months, been kicking ass.
Good for
Three
you.
3 days in a row.
Good for you. And the ladies, like, banging down your door?
Oh, obviously. You know that, Gil. I don't even know I got here this morning.
Banging down his door, people. Rick Olier, thank God you're back. No offense to the great Joe and Kelly, but I've been watching the Yacht Rock doc every day over the last 2 weeks from 10 to 12, and I don't know how much more Toto I can take.
I did get to, I got to play the fun role while Joe was in of the older guy who makes fun of the younger guy not knowing anything. So like a 90s reference, like Space Jam came up, and I was like, see, Joe, this was a movie starring Michael Jordan.
Oh, man, that's awesome. Shrek McPhee. Very surprised to see Houston in the criteria for March Madness. Watch them closely. They always go 4 to 5 minutes with no points. Brutal to watch. Mizzou will be the team this year. Hashtag Harvard of Boone County.
Shrek, we on to you, bro. You only got one past us.
Yeah.
It ain't happening again, man. I mean, I'm actually kind of impressed with myself that we only got one by us. But
I like your stick-to-itiveness.
Jeff, yeah, keep trying.
Jeff G, give me the hook. Welcome back, young Gil. I'm sorry, but every year Arizona is either one of the teams that meet the requirements or just right there. By the way, hashtag War Eagle. Yeah, Arizona's always up there. You're right. But never to get there. Since the 90s. Was it 1996 when they won it all? With Miles Simon. Ben Handorf, welcome back, Gil. Can you ask Wishnev when he comes on what he thinks about UC San Diego? If they can make the tournament, best ATS record in the country. 22-4 straight up. Plus, what is it? Can't remember. I don't know what this is, the last part. Oh, plus 201 points ATS. I think they can make some noise if they can win the Big West tournament. UCSD, by the way, one of the most gorgeous campuses also in the United States of America. You know, they have a talking tree on their campus, Kelly? I don't know if you know that.
Wait, who did you do a tour there?
Why did I
Google this once upon a time?
I once was on the campus of UCSD.
Okay, yeah. And I was like, there's like a whole built. Wasn't there like a library and a tree or something?
Yeah, it's a whole thing.
It's like absurd. I remember Googling it and being like, this is ridiculous.
I would have flunked out in one semester. It is so nice.
I'm not wrong, though, right? It's like a whole building's in a tree.
I don't know if the whole building's in a tree,
like,
but there's a talking
in a tree.
Like, you just walk around and the tree starts talking to you, kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, it's beautiful, is the point. Anyway, we'll get to more of these because I want to get to, obviously, the biggest story when I was gone was Victor Wembanyama. Because so many of us have bets for Victor winning Defense Player of the Year. Obviously, he will not now. He did not play the required 65 games before he was diagnosed with deep vein thrombosis in his shoulder. And so he is done for the year. And so it did all kinds of things with the betting market, which we'll get to. I just want to have the serious part real quick because you know how much I love an opportunity to talk about injuries like this.
Yeah, I was like, where's Gil when you need him?
Here's the thing. This is a very serious matter because the thing about blood clots is the worst thing that can happen is it becomes dislodged and then goes in your bloodstream and plants itself on your lungs. And it becomes a pulmonary embolism, which is what happened to me the second time I ruptured my Achilles. Dislodged, blood clot dislodged, flowed up my bloodstream. I had a saddle embolism, and they said 24, 48 hours, if I had waited longer, I would have been a goner.
How long after your injury did that take place?
Great question. I had the surgery, because the injury doesn't matter. It's the surgery that causes it, right? So I had the surgery on a Friday, did a week of a numbers game.
Yeah.
Came back the following Monday, so 10 days later, I realized I couldn't finish my thought, or I had to throw it to Parles earlier than I wanted to, or to a guest earlier than I wanted to. And then realized I couldn't go 30 seconds without gasping for breath.
So
with these athletes, right? Like the worst story is Chris Bosh, right? Chris Bosh, with my case, you could trace it back to one event.
Yeah.
Right? So I had to go on blood thinners. Then first of all, they had to vacuum out half of it, half of the blood clot on my lungs. And then I had to go on blood thinners for a year to get the rest of it. But because they could trace it back to a ruptured Achilles and the subsequent surgery, they knew it was probably not a chronic condition, knock on wood. Chris Bosch had to retire because he had a chronic condition of this. So the hope with Victor Wembanyama and the belief is that this is not going to be a chronic thing, knock on wood, hopefully not, because that would, you'd have to end your career. Because you can't, not only that, but like if you got cut, you would bleed profusely, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah. I mean, what they say is basically the blood, once you're on the blood thinners, if you're on them for...
Oh, it's just ridiculous.
Like Brian Windhorst did a great job breaking this down, because much like you, he had suffered the same thing, and he'd been covering all these athletes. So as we've seen this in recent years, Brandon Ingram right around the same time, just a few years ago, Asar Thompson last year. Okay, they got one.
Anderson was my man on the Cavaliers.
Varejao.
His career ended because of it.
Yeah. And you know,
Serena Williams had to deal with it.
So like if you hit one, as soon as you go on the blood thinners, if you're an athlete, it's okay, you're out for months. Yep. You're out for, and as long as you're on those, you are out. But a lot of these guys, Asar Thompson, Brandon Ingram, it's one, okay, and then they were able to work their way back, no problem. Mm-hmm. Problem is once you have that second one, Windhorst is saying, you're basically on blood thinners for life and your career's
because you can't risk it again.
Yeah.
That's right. Because one is an anomaly, two is a pattern.
Which we sit here, what is Wemby, 21 years old right now? Like, when we sit here with him at 21, Gil, it's terrifying to me just as an NBA fan of... What is it? I don't care if it happens in the next year. What if it happens even 4 years from now? You're losing a kid in his prime.
For him as a person, right? For the NBA as a league, for fans who love basketball, right? In that order.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's just, you know, you just hope that it's not that. So assuming it's not that, we you know, he'll be back for next season. But it does, of course, then call into question, where did your mind go to with Defensive Player of the Year? Because I know you had Montesano on because he told me he was on. This is why I love Montesano so much. He just speaks factually. He does not give his opinion, and I love that about him.
You want to know where my mind went? As soon as I got to the... I mean, look, as a basketball fan, it was so much of what we just talked about going through my head first, and then we started thinking about the bets, right? Couple things. Okay, this is why you probably want to avoid laying minus 200 preseason on any NBA award where you got to play 65 games. Like, there's a lot of that. And, oh boy, Montesano and his theories are completely live now with the Oklahoma City Thunder. And it's a... I think we're going to see a chaotic race down the stretch with how the odds will move.
So here's a little bit from Montesano. Counting stats, defensive rebounds per game plus blocks, plus steals, the odds on favorite for Defensive Player of the Year, Jaren Jackson at minus 105, 7.6 when you add up those things. Rebounds per game, blocks, steals. SGA is 7.2. So Jackson 7.6, SGA 7.2, and SGA is 30-1. Right? Jackson is minus 105, SGA is 30-1. But there's tons of this other stuff, which is, you know, if you go through it, SGA has been playing great on defense without Chet Holmgren for so many games. And then Hartenstein was out for 17 to 18 games also. Yeah. Experts love to talk about how rim protection for Defensive Player of the Year candidates, love to talk about rim protection for the Defensive Player of the Year award. Two rim protectors were out, in other words, for several games. Many games they were both out at the same time. And their three-point defense is great. OKC is number one in that. And he's on the perimeter all the time. Now, obviously, Dort and Williams are too, but he plays more. SGA, there's tons of... He gave you guys when he was on air with you. It should be SGA, but here's the thing. I trust NBA voters the least to pay attention to this kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's
this kind
tough.
Of logic.
It's also tough with it. Like the perimeter, I mean, Michael and I will attack this stuff pretty similar with looking at the stats that we look at. It's just what's tough with the Thunder. This is going to be the tough part of this conversation. Is they're going to end up putting up historic defensive rating levels and what we're going to see on this team. And the problem is, though, is sifting through Dort and Jalen Williams and SGA and each of them having a case because they're so good on the perimeter.
Just the fact that, though, the voters used one criteria last year with Gobert, and then they were willing to just throw him out the window, which we predicted they would with Wembanyama, and now this chaos. Wes Reynolds on the other side. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.